Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo, domo. Domo, domo. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Matt and Ty Go to the Movies with special guest Tim Davis. This is the podcast where all three of us went and saw a movie at our not-so-local, well, actually still local...
Old stomping grounds.
Old stomping grounds that's no longer Regal. It is now a Cinemark. It feels like we cheated on the system, but hey, Regal forced our hand for this one. And now we're going to sit in this old, lovely parking lot, old stomping grounds, all the memories flooding back. We're going to talk about this movie. We're going to discuss such things as, should you see this movie? Should you not see this movie? Can you snack during this movie? Do you really need to pay attention? Can you nap? Can you bring kids? Should you be yourself? Should you just be by yourself? Should you bring a date? I don't know. We're going to talk about those things and how much we like this movie and whether or not we recommend it. I am Todd Domer, and here comes a plane.
Flying right over. And I'm Matt Malloy, and welcome back to our podcast here. We saw a movie. The movie we saw tonight is called The Creator. It's a sci-fi futuristic type of dystopian robots and computers and people. And Tim, who's in this movie?
Well, there's actually a few recognizable names in this. Stars John David Washington, a.k.a. son of Denzel. He's probably most known for being in Tenet, the Christopher Nolan movie. He's been in a few other things.
Ballers, the show.
Yep. Gemma Chan shows up in this, most recently in Eternals. Also was one of the stars of Crazy Rich Asians. Ken Watanabe shows up.
Let them fight.
Been in various things over the years, including the Godzilla movies, and I probably can't even name them all, but he's a good character actor. He shows up in a lot. So
Last Samurai.
Letters from Iwo Jima, a great movie.
Yeah. Memoirs of a Geisha.
Mm-hmm. Allison Janney shows up in this. She's mostly been in TV, but she shows up as the American soldier leading the charge here. I'd say that's it for recognizable people. The director, I don't know if the director's name is known, but he did not only Rogue One, Star Wars, but also the Godzilla remake from 14. Hence why Watanabe and various people are in this. So, that's all I'll say.
All right. This movie did have a... Wait, what? Did Rogue One or Solo? Which one did you say?
Rogue One.
Yeah, this one did have a Rogue One feel, now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, so what is this movie about? That's hard to explain.
It is, actually.
But basically, think about a future Earth where there are plenty of robots around, and they look kind of like humans, except for the back of their head is a little, like, empty-ish and metal. You can kind of see through.
Almost like the head is, like, planted onto the robot shell.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you've got robots, you've got people, and due to some kind of error or problem, AI, the concept of AI, is blamed for a nuclear bomb that went off in Los Angeles. So robots are banned in the Western world. We'll call it the Western world, but it's really the United States in this movie. And in Asia, there are still plenty of robots. There's AI. And the U.S. or Western world is on kind of a quest to destroy AI and destroy sentient robots, if you will.
They're also in New Asia.
New Asia.
Not to be confused with old Asia.
Right.
Yeah, we assume something happened.
That is what it's called.
Yeah.
But I assume it's still the continent of Asia. So that's the setup. And then what we've got is, we've got the U.S. is like going to New Asia. They have this giant space station-like warship, like floating battle station or whatever that can launch missiles down and rain them down wherever it wants. And they are trying to find this thing called Nomada, this secret, super powerful weapon made by AI that can take out the space station and make them lose the war against AI. And yeah, so that brings us, that's the setup for the movie.
The backdrop.
That's the backstory. That's where we are. and the beginning of the movie, John David Washington's character, whose name is
Joshua.
Yeah. He is with his wife, and they are in New Asia. And through a series of events, we learn that he is an undercover U.S. Army operative, and he's living among robots and AI lovers, and trying to find this Namada creature or weapon. And but at the same time, he's married. He's really married to this woman. They're pregnant, and but the U.S. sends an attack there, even though he wasn't ready for it, and he didn't know where the weapon is. And so, anyway, it ends up that during the attack, things go badly. They don't find any weapon at that time, and he makes his way back to the U.S. Then 5 years after that, some military people come to him and say, "We think we found where the weapon is. We want you to help us because you know the area." And he agrees because they tell him that his wife is still alive, and they show him pictures of her or video. So he goes along with it, and really he's just there to try and find his wife. So the mission is more successful this time. Well, a little more successful. Joshua finds this weapon, which turns out to be a child robot AI who has powers of controlling technology. And so then the rest of the movie is spent with him trying to find his wife with this child robot in tow, and the U.S. Army is trying to capture him, and the robots are trying to find the child robot. And we'll say that Joshua's mind may be changed on the idea of should robots be free or not by the end of the movie. And, you know, there's big things that happen at the end of the movie that I'm not going to spoil for you. You can maybe think about what they are. You can maybe make your own judgments and then write them down and go to the movie and see if you're right or you're wrong. Or you can look it up online and, you know, look at the spoilers and find out. But I recommend writing it down either way. I think it would be a good experience for everyone if you do that. So that's kind of my non-spoilery summary. Todd, why don't you share your non-spoilery feelings about this movie,
Creator. I will share them. So with this movie, you got a mix of like, so you almost have like a sci-fi Vietnam movie mixed with a little bit of Blade Runner, like a lot of different things going on. And honestly, my first thought coming out of the theater was there was way too much going on.
Yeah.
Like, it just was a very bloated story that like came from different angles, and then even though like I felt like a lot of the stuff that we saw was like original, it was also equally kind of rehashed stuff that we've already seen, and like some paint by numbers at times. Like it was kind of a little all over the place. And for a movie like this, it needed to be like super tight, and it really wasn't. It was all these kind of like weird plot holes popping up and different things that completely distracted me from the movie. I mean, I liked the acting, but I didn't like the script. I thought some of the dialogue was just really horrible at times, like almost cringeworthy at times. But I thought the special effects were really good. You know, especially so many robots being in the movie with like, you know, either holes in their head or, you know, actually looking robots or, you know, fighting robots or whatever. I thought all that was like really good. So this movie is like in recent history, it's the biggest mixture of things I like and things that I hated, like just all kind of smashing at each other. And I think So I have two big things to take away from this movie. That one of them distracted me through the whole movie. The second one really frustrated me about the ending. And while I'm not going to spoil it, it was really hard for me to get around the fact that, whoa, acorns falling on your tree or whatever. Acorns falling on your tree, on your car. Or,
yeah.
Out of the tree, in your car, on your car. Yeah. We're off the rails. So, like, the whole kind of ending kind of battle, let's just say, like, there's a point where a lot of missiles are fired and they're going to the various places. And the whole idea is that they're shot from this stationary, you know, big war station that's just sitting in the sky. And it's shown sitting in the sky every other clip. And then the whole other, like, call of this kind of station is this blue targeting array or whatever that it fires down. You probably saw it in the trailers. It's all throughout the movie. It's a very cool looking effect, but it has that blue array going around in all these different places while we're showing that the station is completely not moving and just sitting there. And it's like, it just keeps going to all these places that are so far away from each other, like indicating that there's all these different stations. It was so distracting on how it didn't follow with the narrative that they had already set up of what is happening. Like, and that's like a me thing to pay attention to and get frustrated with.
So I thought it moved.
It did not.
Like, I thought the thing moved, and that's how it moved its array.
It did move. I mean, I'm saying, like, sorry. Scene, though, for the scene. Ending sequence.
Oh, yeah, the ending sequence.
It is
sequence.
Shown stationary so many different times.
Oh, yeah.
But it is shown scanning all these different lands all over the world, really.
Right.
And, like, so that was just so distracting to me while we're kind of in this, like, culmination of the entire movie we've watched. And the other thing that was so distracting to me, and it's not the movie's fault, was that the entire time I was thinking to myself, if I made a sim of myself, would we get along? Like, and it's just such a fascinating thing to think about. I found myself just paying attention to that question. Be like, well, what would a Tuesday like looking for us? The Todd's just hanging out. Like, that's not the movie's fault. That's my own mind that wanders. But it is the movie's fault for not keeping me, like,
fully engaged,
because you were throwing way too much at me. And from several different genres. Like, as soon as we got back into fully sci-fi, we were back into a Vietnam movie where, like, you're basically showing these... You didn't have to guess. Like, the parallels were, like, really rammed down your throat. Like, so I was bummed by this movie in general. I really wanted to like this movie. I was very interested in this movie. There are good things about it. And I think if you just want to go to the theater and like, somewhat enjoy something, or if you need a night out of the house, then go. If you like Ken Watanabe or sci-fi, like, then go. But I don't think it delivers on the points that would make me go, yes, this is a good movie, go see it. Like, I think, in general, this is a pretty passable movie. So I don't really think I could say, hey, get to the theater and make sure you see this one. Unless you hit those small caveats, but, you know, it's not going to get a horrible rating, but it's also not going to get a good rating from me. So, and that's where I'm going to end it. Tim, would you be able to hang out with a sim of yourself?
I'd like to think so, that I'm likable enough. But, you know, if would the AI fix things that I don't do right, or would it be like an ultimate version of me? Like,
I think it'd just be
so
you.
So many questions in there.
It's the way they made it seem. It's just you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to think so. We'd hang out, talk, chat. We got to talk to ourselves all the time anyway, don't we?
That's
fair. But anyway, as far as the movie goes, I'm kind of in the same boat you are, where there are a lot of great ideas and sequences in this movie, but it doesn't always add up.
Yeah.
And there was some clever stuff. There was some, I wish they could expand on that, or I wish, or like, oh, there's an interesting idea, but it's like more of a throwaway, like, scene, or just something to kind of establish the world without giving you, letting your mind do the rest, like you said, wandering into these other ideas. And it's just like, I feel like this might have been better as a miniseries or something where you could explore the world more. I feel like because they were trying to do so much world building for a one story experience, it got muddled.
Yeah, you have like four different movies going on.
And it's a lot, but like I said, but I'm interested in almost every different movie is an interesting movie.
Right.
But it didn't come together the way they wanted it to. But you could see they were trying, and the scope was there, and the, like you said, the effects are great. I thought some of the best sci-fi effects I think I've seen in a while, as far as robots blending in with humans and human half human robot people, and and all that. And I thought, you know, that war station looked really cool. And, like, you know, there was a lot of original stuff in this. But, all, like you said, it was also some of the sci-fi tropes you get in every one of these movies with dystopias and finding the lost person who's the key to something or, you know, and it's just, I felt like when it had a chance to be new, it went old.
Yeah.
And also, I found it to be rather depressing. And I know sci-fi sometimes likes to do that because it likes to, you know, do some allegory for, you know, human life or, like, you know, oh, just like, you know, we are with people now, like robots are beings too, and we should treat them equally and all that. And they were trying to touch on points like that. And again, that's an interesting movie there, but it just didn't quite get to where it needed to. And I thought there was some, not like a Marvel movie, but there was some attempts at humor very randomly. And in, like, maybe a scene or two, and it wasn't, like, forced, but every joke in this, I thought, did not land and was awkward. And I don't know why they felt they had to insert them. And it wasn't like they were meant to be ha-ha lines. There was just some weird placement of certain dialogue. Like, I think it goes back to you said the script, I don't needed a touch-up or something. There was just some oddness in this movie, and too, and not interesting oddness.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think you're right. The actors tried. I thought, you know, it's nothing wrong with this movie. It's not bad, but it's not great, and I'm not sure it's good either.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm kind of am. And I feel more, coming out of it than I do, oh, that was interesting. It's more like, that could have been interesting.
Yeah.
So that's where I am. Matt?
Fair. Well, I'm with you guys. I don't think this was a good movie. I was interested in the movie.
Yeah.
I found it interesting.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem is with the construction of it, which I've got to blame the director for.
Yeah.
In how it's put together.
He wrote and directed too, from what I think I saw in the credits.
Right. So
it's his baby.
You know, it's not, I agree, Todd, it's not tight enough. It needs to be tighter. I understand you had a lot going on in this movie, but you had a lot of sloppiness thrown in there too.
Yeah.
You know, you could have removed sloppiness, trimmed this down by, you know, 20 minutes or so, and still come out with a better product. But, you know, that's me, the non-director, saying that. But I'm allowed to have my opinion, especially on this podcast.
That's right.
Overall, interesting. The interesting parts were like, hey, we've got robots, and should they be free? Which is something I think we start to think about in society. Certainly it's a sci-fi trope. Let's think about the freedom of robots and what they should be allowed to do or not be allowed to do. You've got some kind of religious themes almost, overtones thrown in when you get the robots like caring for their deceased brethren and things like that, and this idea of Nomada, a lot of the robots were like, we can't harm Nomada, we can't do anything to Nomada. It's almost like a god-like creature for them.
And the child robot would have this idea of going to heaven or hell. Was questioning what that means.
Right. So that's kind of interesting to think about robots and religion and how they would kind of pick up on that. You know, ultimately, robots, at least here on Earth, would be derived from some kind of human ideas. So that's interesting to see how the interplay would be there. And I have to agree that for the most part, the CGI and all the technological things that they toss in here are very well done. Even some of the kind of junked up versions of technology, which I think is one of the hardest things to get right in sci-fi, is like, okay, we have this concept that the future is all going to be bright and shiny. What happens when it's not? Like,
Right.
Like, it's not bright and shiny here and now, so the future is also going to have some junky parts to it and some janky things. And I thought they did some nice touches to give nods to that as well, which was kind of fun. But yeah, overall, a little bit too all over the place, and not really, like, you could see where the story was going a mile away.
Yeah.
And there was no deviation from it, really. There was a couple things that you maybe didn't figure out right away, but eventually you got there. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it's a pretty linear story, and you kind of know where it is going from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And you don't know everything, but you know enough that it's like, okay, well, now this is going to happen. Nope, it happened. Yeah. So that's kind of a weakness as well. But I don't know, some good things, some bad things, but not a great movie. And that's what I'll say about that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, how many, and I'm going to have to explain this one.
Okay.
How many gunshot sound effects would you give this movie? And the reason I highlight them is because in this movie, I swear, they lifted the gun shooting sound effects from G.I. Joe the cartoon to put in this movie, because everything sounds like that
Transformers also used.
Yeah, I was like, and I think they were going for these are new age weapons, yes. But they also looked like, you know, AKs and stuff like that.
They like, did the, look like
some
they
of them
like
looked differently.
Yeah.
Some of them looked the same, but they shot differently, and it was like, okay, interesting, I guess. But it just reminded me of G.I. Joe the entire time.
Choo, choo, choo.
So obviously zero being the worst, because then you have none and it's no fun. And, you know, if you needed protection, there's no gunshot sounds going around. Mm-hmm. Five being the best, because then, you know, I don't know, you got a posse. I don't know. It's five. It's good.
Yeah.
So.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
Well, I'm going to go with, 2.7 gunshot sound effects out of five. To me, the movie was interesting enough that I won't say it's a below average movie, but it's only because it had some really interesting elements to me personally. I think a lot of people would say this is not a great movie. 2.7 for me.
Fair. Tim?
I think I am dropping just below average, unfortunately. I mean, like I said, I admire the special effects and the ideas that were here, but because they didn't execute the way I wanted, plus I left the movie going, well, that was depressing, and that's not usually a feeling I'm looking for in movies. So I'm at a 2.3.
Okay. Fair. This is a hard one for me. Yeah. I'm going to land on where I first thought, when I first walked out of the theater, this is what I thought my number was going to be. I'm going to be a 2.5. And, I think there was some great cinematography at times in this movie. I liked the special effects in this movie at times. But it just really needed to not have four different movies going on at the same time. And there's just two, like, huge things that have bothered me. One I won't talk about, but one I will at least mention, that they make a big deal to note that in New Asia that they do have AI working with them and stuff like that, and they have a police force that uses AI. But at no point did they ever mention why there isn't a New Asia military defending its country from us invading it through the entire movie. Like, and that's some of that, I think, is the missed opportunity of this movie, of just the political ramifications of what America's doing by trying to, like, feel like they're justified in invading other countries to
wipe out AI.
Yeah, to wipe out AI. And, like, that stuff could have been talked about more, or at least near the end you kind of saw that some people in America were boycotting and protesting this stuff, but, like, it just kind of snuck in at the end.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, okay, well, the entire time you think America's 100% on board. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's also it's just, like, it just wasn't, they dove into deep stuff that I was like, they shouldn't have wasted time on that. There's other ramifications of what's going on in this movie that I think would be more enjoying to find out more about. So I think just bad writing, bad direction. I think great idea. Very good concept of a movie, but you know, they couldn't deliver it. So.
Okay. Well, any last thoughts for this episode?
We want more original content like this, but unfortunately...
We want it better than this.
Better.
Yeah. You took off the plane, you just didn't land it. Yes, you gotta land the plane or else no one enjoys their time.
Right.
Right. Well, my takeaway from this movie is there were 5 people in the theater when we started, and...
There were 3
by the end. We were alone at the end.
I didn't even notice they
walked
out.
Walked out, yes. And they seemed, and they were like walked out in the way of like, well, we're done with this.
Yeah. It's possible also that they snuck in.
It is possible, but they definitely, it didn't keep them around.
No.
It did not. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Matt and Todd Go to the Movies, where we reviewed the movie The Creator, and we gave it an average rating of... straight up 2.5, average as you can be. And
it shouldn't have been.
It could have been more. It had some potential that was unrealized. And so it is simply average. That's what we'll say about that. Thank you for listening to this podcast. And if you've listened to other episodes, thank you for that too. And you should try and listen to all of the episodes.
Yeah,
there's a lot. There's a lot. There's over 200. Mm. So get on it. If you are a new listener to the Matt and Todd Go to the Movies podcast, feel free to peruse the entire library, subscribe, download, do all the things. And we will see you next time.
Da-da-da-da.
Da-da.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da.